bore the grime of a long journey, and the hair bristled unkempt from the well-shaped head. It was a sorely stricken man who lay before us. "What is it, Watson?" asked Holmes. "Absolute exhaustion. Possibly mere hunger and fatigue," said I, with my finger on the thready pulse, where the stream of life trickled thin and small. "Return ticket from Mackleton in the north of England," said Holmes, drawing it from the watch pocket. "It is not 12 o'clock yet. He has certainly been an early starter." The puckered eyelids had begun to quiver, and now a pair of vacant grey eyes looked up at us. An instant later, the man had scrambled onto his feet, his face crimson with shame.
"Forgive this weakness, Mr. Holmes. I have been a little overwrought. Oh, thank you. If I might have a glass of milk and a biscuit, I have no doubt that I should be better. I came personally, Mr. Holmes, in order to ensure that you would return with me. I feared that no telegram would convince you of the absolute urgency of the case."
"Oh, when you are quite restored..."
"I am quite well again. I cannot imagine how I came to be so weak. I wish you, Mr. Holmes, to come to Mackleton with me by the next train."
My friend shook his head. "My colleague, Dr. Watson, will tell you that we are very busy at present. I am retained in this case of the Ferrers documents, and the Abergavenny murder is coming up for trial. Only a very important issue could call me from London at present."
"Important?"
Our visitor threw up his hands.
"Have you heard nothing of the abduction of the only son of the Duke of Holderness?"
"What? The late Cabinet Minister?"
"Exactly. We had tried to keep it out of the papers, but there was some rumour in the Globe last night. I thought it might have reached your ears."
Holmes shot out his long, thin arm and picked out Volume H in his Encyclopedia of Reference. "Holderness, 6th Duke, KGPC. It's half the alphabet. Baron Beverley, Earl of Carston. Dear me, what a list. Lord Lieutenant of Hallamshire since 1900. Married Edith, daughter of Sir Charles Appledore, 1888. Heir and only child, Lord Saltire. Owns about 250,000 acres. Minerals in Lancashire and Wales. Address, Carlton House Terrace, Holderness Hall, Hallamshire, Carston Castle, Bangor, Wales. Lord of the Admiralty, 1872, Chief Secretary of State for..." Well, this man is certainly one of the greatest subjects of the Crown."
"The greatest, and perhaps the wealthiest. I am aware, Mr. Holmes, that you take a very high line in professional matters, and that you are prepared to work for the work's sake. I may tell you, however, that His Grace has already intimated that a cheque for £5,000 will be handed over to the person who can tell him where his son is, and another £1,000 to him who can name the man or men who have taken him."
"It is a princely offer," said Holmes. "Watson, I think that we shall accompany Dr. Huxtable back to the north of England. And now, Dr. Huxtable, when you have consumed that milk, you will kindly tell me what has happened, when it happened, how it happened, and finally, what Dr. Thornycroft Huxtable of the Priory School near Mackleton has to do with the matter, and why he comes 3 days after an event. The state of your chin gives the date to ask for my humble services." Our visitor had consumed his milk and biscuits. The light had come back in his eyes and the colour to his cheeks, as he set himself with great vigour and lucidity to explain the situation.
"I must inform you, gentlemen, that the Priory is a preparatory school of which I am the founder and principal. Huxtable's Sidelights on Horace may possibly recall my name to your memories. The Priory is, without exception, the best and most select preparatory school in England. Lord Leverstoke, the Earl of Blackwater, Sir Cathcart Soames, they all have entrusted their sons to me. But I felt that my school had reached its zenith when 3 weeks ago the Duke of Holderness sent Mr. James Wilder, his secretary, with the intimation that young Lord Saltire, 10 years old, his only son and heir, was about to be committed to my charge. Little did I think that this would be the prelude to the most crushing misfortune of my life. On May 1st, the boy arrived, that being the beginning of the summer term. He was a charming youth, and he soon fell into our ways. I may tell you